Well, hey, friends, and welcome to episode 17 of the Run From Zero podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Krismer. So glad that you're here today. And as always, this episode is chock full of application from Sunday's message. So if you've not yet listened to the message from this week, I encourage you to pause this episode now. Go listen to that before continuing on in this conversation, as it's going to help this next hour or so make much more sense to you, because we're going to dig in deep to this idea of forgiveness, relational tension, all sorts of things that we can do in ways that we can respond to the relationships in our lives. But more importantly, we talk about how God calls us to respond. What does it look like to be obedient around this idea of forgiving others? So listen up real quick. If you are someone who has been wronged, or someone who has ever sinned against someone else, then you should know you're in the right place for this conversation, which should encompass all of us anyway. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey guys, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Welcome, welcome. Got a good cup of coffee.
Did you try the new pot of coffee?
I did, yeah, it's good.
It's okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, I'm not a big coffee snob, so like, we used
2 cups of tap water.
Tap water, right.
And the rest of it was bottled water that wasn't distilled.
Yeah.
So basically right now you're drinking like sewer water.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I was going to say, nothing makes me feel more like a Philistine than this kind of conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not bothered by tap water. Like I know a lot of people prefer not to drink tap water. I grew up drinking tap water, like living in Phoenix, even we drank tap water, and apparently you're not probably supposed to do that much. So I'm utterly unbothered by water quality. Just fun.
I'm the same. However, Katie got me a new coffee maker for my birthday, and I don't know what it does, but it's like it, like all of the stuff inside of just normal water, you can taste it through this coffee maker that we have now.
Yeah.
And so I started like, well, I went from, I feel like, you know, I'm okay with drinking water off the outdoor spigot kind of thing. Like that's because a kid grew up doing that.
Oh yeah.
But apparently now I taste coffee flavor or water flavor in coffee and I'm ruined.
That's funny.
I know. Yeah. I was fine. No, I'm not.
The little town that I grew up in, we would get a notice on our door once a year that basically said, hey, there's too much radium in the water here, so don't drink the water, which is great because, you know, I grew up 20 miles like east of here. So it's like really close. So we always assumed it's from the base runoff and stuff like that.
Oh, but funny. Yeah.
The fact that I didn't grow up with gills is pretty nice.
Good. You know? Good. Yeah. Yeah. Silver lining.
Mm-hmm.
David, yesterday in the message, you had a funny bit on New Year's resolutions, the percentage, like the success rate of those. Yeah. It got me thinking, and I wonder about you guys, do you, not necessarily New Year's resolutions, because I don't know how many people actually like really lock into them, because it's kind of turned into a bit of a cliche, it feels like, but just like goals for the year, or do you do an evaluation or anything along those lines before each year or at any point during the year?
Usually around my birthday, I sort of reflect on the last year and how things have changed. And for a long time, it was kind of a fruitless exercise because not a lot changed for a long time for me.
Yeah.
But the last 5 or so years, every year I just kind of sit there and go, oh, I am so lucky. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to get a specific goal in mind other than like, I don't know, I'd like to lose more weight.
Sure.
You know, but other than that, like... Yeah, it's just been a good reflection process, but it's been hard to set a goal because things have been so good.
Yeah.
Okay. I know the classic quote, like if you aim at nothing, you hit nothing.
Yeah.
Or that's what you'll hit is nothing and all that. I've never been like a super, super what I would call idealistic goal driven person, like where there's this big, you know, I dream of something that I've never seen before or consider, like, no, I think more closer than further.
For sure.
In the sense of, I can see what problems can come down the road. That's in my head. It's more of how do I make sure this and this and this and this and this doesn't happen 5 years down the road or 10 years down the road. So what do I need to be doing today and this week? But I've never been like, you know what? I'm working towards something over the next 5 years that it's been too far out for me. Mm-hmm. Like even in a year, like a New Year's resolution might be like, so by the end of the year, I want to be healthier than I am right now. But that's as like specific as that goal gets.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I do always kind of chuckle at, because things move pretty quickly. And I think there is some value in setting long-term goals and that sort of thing. Yeah, to your point, I think more of the like, yeah, what is the foundation of the way that I want to live my life though? And let me just focus on those things like mm-hmm. daily rather than it being a long-term goal of, man, I want to lose X amount of weight over the mm-hmm. next 12 months or like that stuff can work for some people. But I was thinking about this a little bit. I've never been a big like New Year's resolution type person, grandiose, like this is what I want to do this year. Though I did go through a stretch of maybe 5 years of thinking, oh, it'd be cool to like learn a new skill that's like pretty much irrelevant to every other area of my life. Yeah. It's like, wow, what's the skill I want to learn this year? Or what's like something I remember before Courtney and I were married, I was quite young. 1 year I was encouraged, hey, just like write something every day. Whether it's creative writings, like a little short story or something along those lines. And I did that. I found a lot of value in that. But I've got some odd, and most of these I haven't touched in years, but like odd skills that I picked up during those times where it's like fun party tricks. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can juggle pretty well.
Okay.
I'm a pretty competent juggler.
I didn't know that. Are we going to take a moment to cut to a video of you juggling?
We could, yes, Stuart, if you can, hey, roll the clip. We're not going to do that, but just fun yo-yoing. That was another thing. 1 year when I was in camp ministry, like the theme of the summer was not related at all to yo-yoing, but there were a bunch of kids, like you would sell them in the shop. So kids would.
Okay.
Our staff would learn tricks.
I totally thought you were building to, you know, our theme was, you know, being consistent and not yo-yoing.
Completely unrelated.
But it just, that's so good.
Yeah. 0% relation to what we were doing or teaching that summer. It was just a fun thing we did.
Oh, that's so cool.
Hacky sack. Pretty good at hacky sack.
Okay. Actually. Yeah.
So, always fun to think about New Year's resolutions. And like a lot of people think about them as like, oh, this could be a life-changing thing. And instead, I've just got these useless skills that I'm never going to use ever. So
incredible.
Lots of fun.
What's your favorite useless skill that you developed through this?
Oh, that's a good question.
Is it juggling because somebody may throw three chainsaws at you at some point or?
It might be. Yeah. I don't know. It's just one of those like, even now when I'm a little bored, if I've got three things in my office, it's like, okay, if I need to walk for a bit or at least stand up, take a bit of a brain break, I'll grab a few things and start juggling. But it's probably juggling.
I'm not going to loan you anything breakable anymore just in case.
Well, I'm pretty good, so I probably wouldn't drop them. I was thinking about that driving in this morning. Just those fun goals. Hey, let's dig into the message from this weekend. Would love to talk through, David, I don't know where you would place this topic in like the list of important sermons that people should hear twice a year, probably. But the idea of like relational tension, forgiveness, how we should interact with one another, I think that's got to be like a top five, right? Like just, I think this is the type of sermon we could preach over and over again. And will be relevant for people because we all do life with other people.
Yeah.
And we all likely struggle with some of the biblical commands around how to do that well. So out of this specific, you know, texts, the few specific texts we were in, would love to just dig into, you know, we'll get to application, but what else is there that we didn't necessarily have time for this weekend as a part of the message? And then there's a ton of application stuff we can talk through on this too. So, I'll just let you jump in here.
Yeah. Some of the stuff that didn't make it to the message just cause you know, the relational message is building towards not just what to like some of the basic lines, like honesty, like be honest, don't steal from each other. All the stuff that like we know even as kids that we perhaps even had to learn a lesson of like, hey, don't take that from your brother. Right. All that kind of stuff. We know that, but we often don't continue to apply it in the context that we're in. where sure, I'm not going to steal my coworker's pencil. Like I would have maybe done that in school, right? Yeah. Like, cause I needed one, but what am I stealing? But, 1 Peter 4:7-8, I didn't throw it in the message, but the end of the world is coming soon. Dun, dun, dun. That's what, no, sorry. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, so like think of the natural inclination. If the end of the world is coming, some people would then revert to then relationships don't matter.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Or what I do doesn't matter as much because we think of there's not as more long-term, right? Mm-hmm. We stop planting the trees, in essence, is some of the philosophical approach.
Yeah.
The end of the world is coming soon, but look what, therefore, and it basically, therefore be earnest and disciplined in your prayers, okay? Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. And what I love is if you look at it, okay, the end of the world is coming soon. So what should you be valuing right now is loving others, but also recognizing that that love for others covers a multitude of sins, which means if you want to get into the weeds, that the end of the world's coming soon. So forgiveness should be on the plate today. It should be like, what do I do about my sins and other people's sins? Now the barriers that we might have in between each other because someone said something or did something or whatever. Mm-hmm. So what I didn't go after was if the end of the world is coming soon, which this says it is, and you read the news, it kind of feels like things ratcheting up. What should be super important to me today? Like what? Okay. So let's say tomorrow it's all over. Then actually what's today a big deal is forgiveness, relationships. Like it puts it more, I guess, at a heightened, rather than like the end of the world's coming, so it doesn't really matter how well you know each other or if you've resolved such and such kind of conflict. So I love the where 1 Peter 4 goes after is like, so show deep love because it covers a multitude of sins. We talked about forgiveness, but one of those things is on the urgency, mm-hmm. on what's most important in life and what's least important. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that right now I think about when I'm building my day, doing my day, is that regular, like who have I not forgiven? How am I not loving some people in my life really well because of hurt or unresolved something? Forgiveness, if someone wants to know how important is this, I think based on scripture, it's primo.
Yeah, that's really good. You even started the message yesterday with this idea of, we're talking, this isn't an earning conversation. Mm, yeah. It's not a legalism conversation. Yeah. What do we need to do in order to achieve eternal life in Jesus? It's an effort conversation. Mm-hmm. I love the 1 Peter 4 text because I think it speaks to that in a really interesting way, right? Love one another deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. There's a couple of ways we could probably read that. Yeah. I think one of the ways that we might misread that is, okay, well, if I'm actively sinning against people, then all I have to do is then try to love them and figure it out that way. Which would lead us to like behavior modification, right, rather than what I think Paul's really instructing, which is if we live a life in being intentional about the love that we have for the people around us, that's like foundational. It's not behavior modification. It's like foundational formation. If that is our desire, if we're constantly pointing back to what God has called us to do within our relationships, which is love one another, then that will likely eliminate many of these sins, which are a byproduct of us not living that way. So I just love the way that Paul places the relationship with our love for one another and how it actually, it doesn't necessarily make right our sin. It eliminates our desire or even just unknowing actions that are sinful against other people.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I think is paramount for us is Galatians 6:7 says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap. Right. If all this is temporary, right, and we get focused on not doing the things like planting trees, right? putting into those like relational times, it shows that we're a lot more focused on the reaping. But as people, the sowing is a lot more important. Where are we putting our time? Where are we putting our efforts in? That shows a lot more of where our heart is at than what we are actually going to be reaping. It's more important what we sow than what we reap.
Yeah, when we do relationships long enough, we all build, in essence, this catalog of good relationships, ones where we've been hurt, ones that have been like temporary, some long-term, all that kind of stuff. So that's why I love this. No matter how much time you have left, no matter where you are in a stage of life, what you're doing right now, the effort you're giving the relationships right now is a big, 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 big deal. Mm-hmm. I told one time, when I was in high school, I had a coach not treat me great, like kind of rob me of some stuff that really hurt my feelings. If you look at on paper, I was right, he was wrong. There was favoritism going on, all that kind of stuff. So I kind of, you know, graduated high school pretty upset with him. I just, you know, it was one of those, not like I hate your guts, but kind of like, yeah, let me tell you, if you and I, we were swapping stories about high school. Yeah, I had this coach, played so-and-so because that person, their dad had money and all that kind of stuff. So I have this wound. Well, fast forward to I'm living in Kansas, helping plant a church, and that coach somehow, I think, got my number from my family or somehow and said, I'm coming through town. Can I grab dinner with you? And I was like, what in the world? Like, no, you're one of the people in my story that I'm mad at, but not really mad at.
Sure.
I mean, it was 16, 17, 18. But it's fascinating. It's one of the lessons I actually go back to going, so we had dinner. We didn't like hash through all of the, let's relive everything. But it was one of those redemptive moments I saw the Lord provided me was like, you know, holding on to this really isn't worth it. Like you're not getting what you think you're getting. So one of those things is the end of the world is coming soon. So most important of all, like if you take these words and squeeze that into something a little bit more to where what I've learned in life is the stuff I'm holding on to. And that's why I told the potato story of like, you know, the potato's long enough, like you're going to get gross and mushy and disgusting and all that kind of stuff. That forgiveness is worth it. But the disclaimer is I get that it's hard. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to skirt over that. I think forgiveness might be one of the hardest things. Yeah. I think it's of all the things to do.
Yeah.
Like forgiving someone, especially if it was like, more than a blip of a moment, I cut in line kind of a thing.
Yeah. There's a quote that it's a little bit longer, but I really like how it resolves. I'm sure everyone's heard this. It's from Mother Teresa. Everyone's heard this, but it's really good. And I go back to this a lot. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you're honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they might be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you've got anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it's between you and your God. It was never between you and them anyway. And that's kind of how those relationships work, where you're carrying something that is, say, malice towards this person. Yeah. Like you were talking about the potato, but like that's between, like you think it's between you and them, but it's not. It's something that you hold between yourself and connection with God, and maybe through that other person, maybe not. But it's at the end of the day, it comes down to what are you holding between yourself and God?
Well, the scripture that we went after uses the words "get rid of," mm-hmm. And I don't, I think we skirt over that.
Yeah.
That like, sure, there's some people in our lives that are jerks or mean or do this or that, or they have opinions about such and such. Okay, you're right. Let's have the 5 minutes to acknowledge, yes, you are right. You have been wrong. They have been blah, blah, blah. But the scriptures, like, but it's not their job. It's your job, my job, to get rid of it, mm-hmm. to get rid of what's going on in our hearts. Yeah. That's not good. And I think that's the work of faithfulness. It's like, so how does faithfulness connect to forgiveness? Is there's actually, and it's not fair. Yeah. Someone else put something in your circle, but it's your job to get rid of it.
Yeah. The Mother Teresa quote, I mean, she does a great job. It's almost as if she like followed the way of Jesus or something.
almost like.
That. Yeah. Right. Because even the Matthew 6 text that we've talked about, it shares that same, like it puts the onus on us. This is a forgiveness. Yeah, it is not necessarily about the person who sinned against you. Mm-hmm. It is about your relationship with the Lord. And it does have the potential to become a hurdle in that relationship, right? That Matthew text, if you missed it Sunday, Matthew 6, 14 and 15, right after the Lord's Prayer, hey, if you pray, do it this way. Yeah. In which a part of that is, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Mm. And then Jesus feels the need to explain that one line a little more specifically. And so afterwards he goes, hey, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So it's almost as if he teaches those following him, listening to him at that moment, how to pray. And then like, he does this a number of times throughout the Gospels. So he's like, hey, make sure you heard me here. Let me say it again this way. This is important. This is, you should note to this. I'm going to say it twice. So, because I do think that unforgiveness, this bitterness, this list of attributes and sin that comes out of even the text that we were in Ephesians 4. So many times can become tools that the enemy uses to hide the will of the Lord in your life, to distract you rather of the will of the Lord in your life. When we are just angry or bitter. I mean, you even mentioned, David, like some people have just been angry about a thing for decades,
yeah.
20, 30, 40 years of their lives. They've just been in this constant, it's such a deep part of their identity now that they may not even know how to live another way in freedom from that. It can become such a stronghold in our lives that the enemy uses to distract us from what God's doing in and around us, to distract us from the things we have to be grateful for, the positive relationships, mm-hmm. how we're impacting relationships. It's so much more about our relationship with the Lord than it is even our relationship with the other person. Now, forgiving someone can certainly, and oftentimes does certainly produce a benefit in that relationship. It can mm-hmm. grow and strengthen relationships when we're willing to forgive and ask for forgiveness for that matter. But that's like a secondary point in Jesus's words. First and foremost, this is between me and God. Mm-hmm. How does this impact my relationship with the Lord? Because I do not want to be bitter or angry. I don't want to slander or, practice malice or any of those things that could be a byproduct of unforgiveness.
I don't think we think about as much as we should how badly we don't want bitterness in our lives. Mm-hmm. Like I know that when we get, it's the annoying part. I grew up a lot in Kansas where there's a season where the news is full of where was the tornado and how bad was the damage. Yeah. And then in fact, while living in Kansas, it was actually, I remember as a church, we would then send a group and we would go to that town mm-hmm. and help those individuals clean up. Like, and you're talking like a mound of just wood and metal and belongings on a property. And we would go help them find stuff that was important to them. And I've always felt like that's a good visual of what happens when someone hurts you. Hmm. Like it's, you didn't destroy your house. A storm came out of nowhere and hurt and just took everything. And now you're left with the rebuilding. The storm's not going, oh, I'm so sorry. I will stick around and help you rebuild your house. No, the storm's gone. And that's why most of us don't then lament the storm. Do you, like if a tornado takes your house, you don't spend the rest of your life bitter towards that tornado. You just, you know, it's kind of a part of life, especially if you live in Kansas or Oklahoma. Like you just know that that's a part of it. No, you're then faced with, what am I going to do with this? Yeah. I've got this property that I own. I think we should think of it personally. So I've got this mind, body, and soul that I've got this. What am I going to do about it? And what I've learned in actually helping people recover from tornadoes, some lose all hope. And they're like, I'm not going to rebuild. I am going to live in hopelessness. I am destined to have this life. And then some go, you know what? I'm going to start the process. Going to call the insurance company. We're going to figure out how to redo this and rebuild and all that kind of stuff. And I think forgiveness is often the same to where we get so fixated though on the storm. We live, but the storm becomes our identity. Yeah. Where it's like, hey, how are you? I'm great. Did you know my house was destroyed in 19, whatever? And I think for us, we've got to be careful about what's shaping our identity. I think that's what Jesus often got. He's like, I want you to learn about forgiveness in the context of what Jesus has done for you.
Yeah.
And he's talking about, I want to keep shaping your identity. And so when we forgive, has nothing to do with validating or invalidating what happened or it has everything to do with faithfulness and your identity in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's where you get that fuel to go forward.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good.
That is. I do wonder, you know, because forgiveness is one of those topics that comes up all the time in scripture. It's really important. Mm-hmm. Again, like I mentioned earlier, it's one of those like top five, top seven things that we should be talking about super regularly because especially in the words of Jesus, like just the red letters, he makes it seem pretty important to us.
Yeah.
I do think though, and this is something I was just thinking about with how often we talk about it, I do think there can be some misconception around forgiveness. So I want to dig into a couple of things specifically. So we've all heard like, hey, forgive and forget. Oh. So could you give me like the book chapter verse on the forgive and forget piece?
It does not exist.
Right, right. So I think that it's, there are things around this idea of forgiveness where culture has implemented some ideas around forgiveness. I sinned against you, right? But you can just like release that and reconcile this relationship and everything's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. I do want to draw a contrast between forgiveness, which we are called, rather mandated to do in scripture as an obedient follower of Christ, and reconciliation, which is always preferable, but not always possible.
Yeah.
There are certainly instances where people sin against us with regularity and are unrepentant. Reconciling those relationships, just forgetting about that sin over and over again may not be the path, right? I don't know how many people are wrestling with that tension of like, hey, I'm called to forgive. So that means I can't put up healthy boundaries in my family dynamic or in this friendship. And I need to keep coming back to them. And I think it helps us remember that, forgiveness isn't a thing that we feel necessarily. It is not a feeling. It is not, there are emotions that can be tied to forgiveness. I hope that when you forgive, you will feel released of the tension that you experience when you are not practicing forgiveness in a situation. But it is more of a cognitive choice and an obedience than it is a feeling that then leads to the restoration of that relationship. Sometimes we have to experience the consequence of our own sins, and sometimes that breaks relationships with people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes on the flip side, we have to, unfortunately, as a result of the broken world we live in, experience the consequences of people sinning against us and the way that changes relationships. So I just want to, I always in this forgiveness conversation want to wrestle with, wait, forgive and forget. Is that something? Do I just need to forget about the thing and like act like it never happened? No, I think that's probably unwise. Yeah. I think that's probably not exercising wisdom. On the flip side of the spectrum though,
I do think when appropriate and when it's not an immediate emotional or physical harm situation for you, trying to reconcile relationships are a good thing. Yeah. When someone didn't even know they hurt you by the thing they said, yeah, you can address that. You can forgive them. And hopefully you can reconcile that relationship. But that may not always be possible or even wise to do given the situation. Yeah. So just a couple of things that I always like to try to clarify if we can around forgiveness.
So I have an example in my own life that I think is an interesting case study in that. I had my storm that kind of defined me as far as like how I was hurt, that I carried with me a long time. And this happened 2012. Okay, is when there was something that happened, and it was something I kind of defined myself by, okay. And it was unhealthy. It was bad, and basically, I had a friend who hurt me very badly, and it was something. The fault is kind of irrelevant at this point, but I felt that I had been wronged so severely that I didn't feel like I was going to be able to forgive that person. And I told them, I will never forgive you,
okay.
Which is obviously contrary to the gospel, mm-hmm. Right? And I carried that with me a long time. And it was about 9 years later. I found out that person was going to be back, like was going to be here in town.
Okay.
And I, felt convicted.
Oh, wow.
And I reached out, had to unblock the person, okay. On a social media app and was able to send them a message that basically said, hey, when all this happened, I said this and I was wrong to say that. And I am so sorry. Hmm. Like, will you please forgive me? And pretty immediately the person messaged me back and said, of course, like, absolutely. Thank you so much for saying that. Do you want to get together while I'm here? And I went, no, I don't.
Yeah.
Cause I don't think that relationship needs to be built back up or anything like that. And again, it was about what I had done wrong to that person wasn't about what they had done wrong first. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it came from, yep. That, but my sin, because that was sin, right, was not justified by the fact that I had been hurt. And so realizing that and recognizing that was a really good and healing moment for me to be able to do that. And then again, it's one of those, there's no repentance on that side, which is fine. I don't need it. But to... Again, I didn't feel compelled to then reconcile that relationship. And at that point, it might, sure. Still come. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it was a really good moment for me and a very humbling moment.
I'm sure it was.
To just go, oh, this thing I've been carrying with me for 9 years, mm-hmm. at this point is my fault. And to just let it go.
Yeah.
Again, really good, but really hard.
The list that, you know, we went through with Ephesians: bitterness, rage, anger, fighting, slander, and malice. Okay. Malice, I even put in my notes, intention or desire to cause distress. If someone's like, I don't use the word malice all the time.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to look at those words when it comes to forgiveness and say, look, have I forgiven this person? Mm-hmm. And because sometimes we jump to, well, we don't hang out anymore. We don't do the same things anymore. Maybe I haven't forgiven them. Well, one of the ways to actually look at, like, well, am I intentionally or desiring to cause distress into that person's life?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no. Slander. Am I slandering this person over and over? Am I, like, even when I'm saying I'm expressing how I feel? No, right? No. And I think you can begin to work, am I fighting this person still on the internet or texting and you can begin to actually, I think this is helpful to, like, do I have forgiveness? Maybe you have forgiveness, but you don't have restoration. Mm-hmm. And it's so important to separate those two, yep. Because if we combine them, I think we end up not achieving either one. Like, or we restore without forgiving.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in those relationships where we're now back to normal, yet there's still like stuff that's like, so that's why I think there's actually an order to this. Mm. And I would say the order, I would recommend the order be forgiveness leads the way.
Yeah.
And then if restoration is necessary, needed, appropriate, best, or in God's will, mm-hmm. that you walk through it. But that's why it helps. I sometimes wonder, like, am I unforgiving? I don't know.
Yeah.
And then you work that list, like, and just slowly go through it. It'll help you understand. And many of us in our anger, I think one of the easier ones might be slander or gossip. I know gossip's not said there, but like, if you want to know, like, if some low hanging fruit to begin to go after on unforgiveness and bitterness and, yeah. and relationally is, and yeah. especially in our world now, it almost feels like a right.
Yeah.
To say what was wrong.
Yeah.
Here's a good litmus test. How many of your relationships are almost exclusively built on gossip without you even knowing it? Here's what I mean. When you go grab coffee, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. When you have dinner with another friend or whatever it is, what are you talking? Are you always constantly talking about the other people in your guys' lives that you both know yeah. and they happen to not be in the room at the moment, but you're talking a whole lot about them and a lot less about yourself or the person that is in the room with you. I do think that it is, like from a social perspective, super easy. It's really easy to talk about other people.
Yeah.
It helps bond relationships and affirm your feelings and all of those things. But there is a very clear, line at some point where it goes from just a conversation between two friends to, oh man, this might be slander.
Yeah.
This might be gossip.
How many pieces of gossip have been shared in the church under the guise of prayer requests?
Yeah. So definitely something to pay very close attention to. Mm-hmm. Because what does that tell you? Okay, there's probably some sort of unresolved, unforgiven experience that you had with this person, and mm-hmm. you need to check yourself in that.
So. Well, go after that a little bit, because like not just in prayer requests, like so as followers of Jesus Christ, what we would acknowledge is that sin leads to death. Sin is bad. Sin is something that we need to get out of our lives. So the byproduct of that, dangerously so, can be where you feel okay talking about other people's sin.
Mm.
Like, and you're like, because it's a part of your worldview.
Yeah.
That sin needs to be fought, eradicated, dealt with. And so whether it's concern or we're just talking about sin, because are you not concerned? Yes, I'm concerned about sin. But here's the problem is a lot of times what dominates it is our conversations are about other people's sins. Mm. Not scripture talking about confess to each other.
Yep.
Which is not like, I'm not supposed to talk to you. I'm confess Tyler's sin on you. No, my sin, so it's a connection point where you realize, shoot, if I look at this list, I might be revealing that I have unforgiveness somewhere there that I would not have acknowledged, because we treat unforgiveness sometimes as utter like hatred or I'm still fuming, anger being one of those, like that's why we talk about anger management, put a time limit on it kind of thing. But like, who are you talking about? Great, great way to go about like, or whose sin are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's easy. I've been caught. That's why I confess I've been caught in that before. Yeah. Like where I'm talking about sin because I don't like sin and I'm supposed to not like sin, but I'm not talking about my sin.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I want to spend a little bit of time. So again, because forgiveness is talking about so much, I think sometimes, there are, varying ideas of, okay, well then how do I do that? What does that mean? What does it look like? What does scripture tell us to do? And then, this gets us into, some application. So for you guys, from a practical sense, when you're wrestling through, hey, I've had this experience, someone sinned against me in this way, I feel like I need to move forward in my forgiveness of them. Do you guys have a practice or any sort of for that process? Is it just a internal prayer? Do you have a physical practice when it comes to forgiveness? Anything along those lines?
Sorry, just the thought process there got me thinking of, I don't know if we should talk about the movie Billy Madison on this, but where Billy reaches out to people he'd wronged in his life and he talks to somebody and you see him go to a list of like people that hurt me or whatever. And it's somebody who's obviously crazy and going to hurt those people.
Steve
and
he Buscemi, just, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He just goes and crosses Billy's name off the list, which I think is pretty good. So I don't have a list that I cross off or anything, but just that was what came to my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember growing up and someone, maybe my parents, I just remember someone emphasizing maybe the first time or 10th time is that, you know, okay, so forgive others as Christ has forgiven you, right? So I learned up being taught that was a part of our home. That was, we had weighty conversations at the dinner table, sometimes rooted into who's wronged who and how do we deal with this and how do we forgive right now? And like I've mentioned, I've joked, I've spent many days in the principal's office and all that. And just like, and so what goes to my mind at first, or sorry, what I try to get to, I don't know that it goes to first, but the practice I try to implement is there's a couple moments in my life that I was shown grace and mercy in ways that still make me emotional.
Yeah.
They still like, and I remember my desperate need. I'm in a pit. And the only way to get out is if someone shows me grace and mercy. I'm stuck in that. Mm-hmm. The trajectory of my life changes. My understanding of life in general, relationships and the Lord. I can reference that when I'm willing to. Yeah. And so I remember basically, and it's the short way to say this, I remember the grace that I've received. Mm-hmm. And that helps me at least get it somewhere, even if it's just on the corner of the table and I need to deal with it. Like, wait a minute, there have been multiple examples in my life where I deserved zero grace, zero conversation, zero any kind of engagement, and people gave it to me. And I, to this day, am grateful for it. And it was life-changing, shaping that perhaps I can do the same for someone that I don't want to do it for.
Yeah.
So for me, my practice is, can I get my mind to the moment or moments where I was receiving grace that blew me away.
Yeah.
And I try to get there.
Yeah. That's really good. I think there's a pretty, actually on both sides of forgiveness, because what we haven't talked much about is like, okay, when we sin against others, and we haven't on the podcast in the past, but what's our role in that? Mm-hmm. How do we, ask for forgiveness in your, example, Tyler? Like that's a great example of, being able to recognize, I did this thing. It probably had a negative impact on this person. It was certainly sin against them. I need to ask, first and foremost, God to forgive me of that sin, purify me from all unrighteousness. But then also like it's our duty to ask for forgiveness from the people we've sinned against as followers of Jesus. There's a big, tendency for us as humans. I think it's just a general human experience thing. Instead of that, we just want to like move on. Kind of sweep it under the rug. Ah, man, that's a bummer, but let's just, out of sight, out of mind, let's move forward. I think even on the other side, when someone sins against us, either, we can be so consumed by it, or we can just kind of, like try to forget it or try to ignore the impact that it has. I think both are probably unhealthy and unhelpful in the long run. So a long time ago, the church Courtney and I were a part of prior to being in South Dakota, had some like very, what I thought was clear and helpful, structure behind, hey, what does it look like to forgive? And what does it look like when you sin against someone? And how do you ask for forgiveness? And it was just a helpful, like, hey, when you feel like, the impact of someone's sin against you is still has like some sort of stronghold on your life, spend some time writing it out, not as a record of wrongs, but as a simple practice of recognition, pray for the Lord to help you forgive this person for these things that they've done to clearly impact you and even right through the byproduct of the impact that it has. Here's how I feel about myself now. And just try to reject the lies that the enemy is trying to get you to believe in those instances. And then whether it's tearing it up, throwing it away, setting it on fire, do not suggest, by the way, that at the moment, a lot of fire danger in the area. But whatever the practice is, as far as just trying to physically release it to the Lord, like hands open, let go of it, and do not try to grab back onto it. Because I think oftentimes, you know, one of the indications, if you are wrestling with, hey, have I really forgiven that person? Because it's not necessarily feeling based. It's, hey, am I still using that against them? Am I still using that thing as a way to like, be the way that I shape who they are as a person first and foremost? Again, we don't forget about it, but it also does not define them as a human being.
Yeah.
It is not all that they are. It was something that they did or something that they maybe continue to do, but it is not everything. So in what ways, to your point, David, can we, can we show grace and show up in that way? And then on the flip side, yeah, we certainly need to be as active as we possibly can be in asking for forgiveness when we sin against people. I have had a couple of moments like this with Porter, or our son. There's nothing more humbling than apologizing to your child.
Yeah,
it's like, man, there is nothing that makes you check your attitude more than having to do that once and not wanting to have to do that again. But what a great way to lead as a parent and all of those things. And again, certainly don't get it right. Full transparency, 2 weeks ago, I had to apologize for a baseball umpire, a volunteer umpire, because I got snippy with him.
I remember you said that.
I shouldn't have. Yeah. And it was stupid. And I 60 seconds later, had to go walk over to him. Hey, dude, so sorry. That tone was inappropriate and unnecessary. Please forgive me. And it wasn't fun. And he didn't respond all that well. And it's fine. It's all fine. It's totally okay. But like, it's just the Lord will instruct you to do those things. You have to say yes. I think it's obedience to say yes to them. And we don't always get it right. I certainly don't always get it right. But
well, I think it's rare. That's why think about the amount of conversations you've had where someone led with, you didn't confront them.
Yeah.
They led with, hey, I want you to know, I need to tell you, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And you go back and go, oh yeah, that is not a common, even though we are commonly offended, we are not commonly, hey, Tyler, I want you to know, I'm sorry. Like it's just, it will move you. In fact, I think it's one of the missing ingredients to life is that humility to say, I am sorry, even if it wasn't a big deal, but still saying it. Like in our home, we have the same practice where no matter if we're not okay with, oh, don't worry about it. No. Bo, I want you to talk to your brother right now. And you know what you need to talk about. And we've had, and then I hear the words, hey, I'm sorry for, and learning the, I think I'll call it a discipline, learning the discipline of saying, I am sorry.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, saying I'm sorry. And then I know with Porter, when he was really young, especially, and we were trying to teach him like, hey, how do you respond to these instances where you have obviously impacted other people? It's like, I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? It's like, that is the actionable line in that. Yes, we should be remorseful 100%, but our response to our impact of other people does not stop at, I'm sorry. It continues to, hey, will you please consider forgiving me? And then it's their choice to yes, forgive you, or no, not forgive you. And you get to experience the weight of their choice and response. But that's always how we have to go back and respond. I was just thinking a minute ago, it's funny because it's sort of like, going to the dentist, like asking for forgiveness is kind of like that, where if you don't go for a while, like maybe you skip an appointment and you kind of build it up, you're procrastinating, you build it up as this thing in your head that you really don't enjoy doing. And I don't know that anyone loves going to the dentist, but it is obviously a necessary part of being a human. But then you go and it's like, hey, actually that wasn't the worst thing ever afterwards. And it's like, hey, I should probably do that again. So you do it once. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never walked up to someone that you know you've sinned against and said, hey, I said this thing and I was frustrated about something else and it had nothing to do with you. I'm so sorry for the way I responded. If you haven't done that before, I suggest you try, because I'd be willing to bet that breaks down whatever intimidation there is, whatever discomfort there is, even just a little bit in Again, hey, I went to the dentist and it wasn't all that bad. I asked for forgiveness. It wasn't all that bad. Actually, our relationship's a lot better as a result of it. Maybe I should do that more. Maybe I should be more intentional about that thing. So I think we sometimes build it up as this, you know, really, really hard thing to do. It certainly can be hard. I just wonder, if the enemy is using that, like, hey, this is going to be really hard, could be really uncomfortable. Is the enemy using that as a tool to get you to not be obedient? Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, maybe just step out, do the hard thing, walk in obedience.
Well, and our value, we have to remember at that point, is not determined by their response right. to that, right? Mm-hmm. If they choose unforgiveness and if they choose to hold that anger and bitterness, it's, yes, it was our actions probably that led to that moment,
yeah.
but we've done all we can at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if they choose to hold on to that.
For me, one of the difficult for me when unforgiving is I want that person to know what they did was wrong. Mm. You know, that's a part of my thought process. And eventually the Holy Spirit helps you remember. Yeah. But vengeance is the Lord's.
Mm. Romans 12.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, that's one of my least favorite parts of the whole Bible. So I get, the way my personality is I like to control things. I like cause and effect, you know? So one of the things when it comes to forgiveness, I'm just thinking out loud that I've got to remember not only the grace that I've received, but vengeance is actually not my job. And it's one of those, where do I over control? Sometimes in that world, as my couple of my kids have gotten to the dating age, the world, I've processed, well, what if that person that they like does something? And I begin to process, well, no, I know what I'll do if they are. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I'm already walking down a road that hasn't even been built.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the way I'm walking down it is I'm thinking about the vengeance that I will take out on a person, right? In it,
yeah.
And no offense has even been created yet.
Yeah.
And so for me, like a part of that helped me like almost dissect potential unforgiveness is to go find out where am I pre-planning vengeance?
And
that might just be me personally, but that I've wrestled with that because I like, you know, law and justice and you know, and which I understand that there are consequences and, but sometimes it's that vengeance, mulling around up here
yep.
that helps me identify pre-planned unforgiveness or existing unforgiveness.
Yeah.
Where I'm walking through scenarios that I just shouldn't be having my mind on. Yeah. What is it? Take every thought captive.
yeah, something like that. Yeah.
One thing that I often go back to in moments like that is the Matthew 18 parable of the unforgiven servant or unforgiving servant. Yeah. Where basically Jesus is sharing that, you know, there shouldn't be a limit to how much we forgive, right? And talks about the king who had a servant who owed him a 1,000 talents, right? Just, or 10,000 talents.
A bunch.
A lot of money, right? And the king forgave him. And then that same servant went to another servant that owed him 10 talents and held him in unforgiveness. And that's so much of what we do is we are forgiven so much in our own lives. And yet we hold others around us to account for things that are so much smaller and so much less than what we've already been forgiven. And I mean, it straight up says like in Romans 5:8 that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Mm-hmm. This has kind of been a verse. If you've been around me at any point in the last few years, that's been the verse I've probably talked about at some point, but it comes up so much. If you can boil the gospel down into one verse, it might be that one, that or John 3:16, you know, one of the two. But we didn't deserve that forgiveness that was given to us, and we are called to give that to others. And that's where you start getting into like the Matthew 6 that you talked about in there. And when we hold others to that account, we lose that grace that was given to us to the same extent because we're not willing to give it to others.
Yeah, that's really good. All right. Anything else on the topic of forgiveness before we take off here?
It's corny. Well, I'm corny. Grieved and pleased. Think they sound so grieved, pleased. What happened to you or what you did that was wrong, it grieved the Lord. Mm. You just need to know it. It grieved him. So specifically, what was done wrong to you has grieved the Lord. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to forgive, that pleases the Lord. And so grieve what grieves the Lord, what pleases the Lord. It's if we would be willing that, yes, he is sad with you, but he also, like a good father, is like, all right, so how do we respond to this?
Yeah.
And so remember that in the midst of your hurt. And so he's grieved with you. That doesn't mean he's like, yeah, let's plot out ways to get back at this person. That's no. He's going to grieve with you, but he's also whispering to you, what are we going to do with this? We got some options, and there's a good way and a bad way. So just to think about whatever pain, whatever hurt you've caused or has been caused. Great way to think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I think that's probably enough for today. Thanks, cool. Guys. Appreciate
Thank it. Thank you.
Well, what a fun conversation that was, just trying to circle back to heavy application. What do we do as a result of what we're learning together? And I pray that there was some sort of nugget that you were able to pull from this conversation that we had. Maybe it was a practice of forgiveness. Maybe it was simply the Holy Spirit in your life telling you this is who you need to forgive because you've not yet. If that's you today, if you're in that situation, then I just encourage you, be obedient. Pray for that person, pray a prayer of forgiveness towards them, as it's exactly what we're called to do, as we talked about on today's episode. We're always here to walk alongside you in that forgiveness. You can reach out to us at any time if there's ever anything we can do to help walk alongside you in that. I hope you do that today. But again, thanks so much for spending some time with us today. Hope you have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you again next time.